All right, church, thanks for checking in. Today we are going to look at a woman in the Bible whose name is Aksa. She is not very well known, but we can learn something from her. She's pretty neat. This is Caleb's daughter. So if you know anything about Caleb, you could probably guess that his daughter is going to be an interesting person as well to study and learn about. So look at this. This is Joshua 15, starting in verse 15, talking about Caleb. It says, "Then he went up from there against the inhabitants of Debir." Now the name of Debir formerly was Kiriath Sefer. "And Caleb said, 'The one who attacks Kiriath Sefer and captures it, I will give him Aksa, my daughter, as a wife.' So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, captured it. So he gave him Aksa, his daughter, as a wife. It came about that when she came to him, she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she alighted from the donkey, and Caleb said to her, 'What do you want?' And she said, 'Give me a blessing. Since you have given me the land of the Negev, give me also springs of water.' So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Judah, according to their families." And it's going to go on from there. So that's it. That's what we know about Aksa. Okay? We know she's Caleb's daughter. We know that she was a prize worth fighting a war for. He's going to give her to marry the man who can capture Kiriath Sefer, which turns out to not just be a city. It looks, as you read it, it looks like this is the whole Negev area, which is a really big area. She's worth fighting for, and it's her inheritance that the husband, it turns out it's Othniel, gets to have. He gets to have it, he gets to have her, and he gets to have this inheritance. She is a pretty bold and evidently desirable woman. Like Othniel had a choice here, and he's like, "That's who I want." Look, raise your daughters; they're important. Raise your kids, raise your children, sons and daughters, all of them. Raise them up to be faithful. Raise them up to be confident. Raise them up to not settle for not compromise and just settle in for nonsense or whatever. Raise them up to be confident, bold, God-fearing, faith-living people. You live by faith and not by sight. And teach your kids this. So Aksa, who evidently is a wonderful woman, big surprise, right? Caleb, the man of God, the faithful man of God who keeps his faith while the whole generation dies off, stays strong. Who would have guessed that this guy would raise up a wonderful daughter, right? Of course he would. It's a good man. And a good man is going to leave a good inheritance. And a good man is going to hold high standards for his daughter. And so she gets this. This Othniel fellow, who, by the way, you read about him in Judges. He's an important judge of Israel. It's a good man. This is not just some random guy. You don't just go capture a city without having certain skills and dedication, and it's going to take a lot. This is not going to, he's not just promising his daughter to any old scumbag, okay? He is holding her, he's raised her to high standards, and he is showing her that she is worth a good man, and here comes one, all right? So she comes, and now she says, "Look, give me a blessing," verse 19, "since you have given me the land of Negev, give me also springs of water." Negev is a desert, okay? Now, he's captured it. Her husband has captured it, a city. So, obviously, there was something worth capturing there. But she says, look, this isn't enough. God promised you, Caleb, that this land, wherever you set your foot, would be given to you and your descendants forever. I'm your descendant, and I want a better blessing. I want more. So, he's going to give her the upper and lower springs. He's conquered a lot. He's captured a lot. By faith, God has expanded his territory. And by faith, his daughter, his descendant, follows that same example, that same bold example, that same not going to compromise kind of example. And now she wants a blessing. We fought for this. Give us a blessing. We got it. Okay. We need some springs of water. It's a desert. Give us some springs of water. And he gives it upper and the lower springs. Okay. He's eager to bless her. He's happy to bless her. And she is not going to compromise and just settle. She wants more. Okay. Now, this is not to praise like selfishness or greediness or something. I realize it might, I guess guess it could come across that way or something. But look, if you're talking about the promises of God, do you want all the promises of God or some of them? Do you want God's blessings, or do you just want a little bit of this, a little bit of that, whatever, God? He sent his son. It's not like he's going to withhold stuff. It's not like he's some sort of curmudgeon, miserly kind of God who, you know, if you beg hard enough, might give you some scraps. He sent his son. He promised Israel, you're going to get the land wherever you set your foot. He promised Caleb this 45 years ago, and Caleb held to it, remembered it, and held God to his own word and trusted God for his word. And his daughter naturally picked it up. Kids are going to pick up what you lay down, okay? They're not just going to listen to what you say. They're going to live how you live. They're going to follow your example. And Aksa, apparently, is a really wonderful woman. And she's picked that up, take a guess, from her parents, right? That's where you learn stuff. And she has learned that God is a good God, that God keeps his promises, that God has a desire for his people to boldly, courageously step out, and they're going to be a judgment hand of God against the nations, the cities, the wicked cities around them, and they're going to be blessed by God if they're faithful. And so guess what? Who wants to be blessed by God? I do, don't you? All right, so no, it's not greediness, it's not selfishness to say God made these promises, and okay, I accept them. Great. They're going to take a little bit of work to get. Well, then let's get it. My dad got a great blessing. I've got a great husband. I don't know exactly what she's thinking, but these things we know are true. Got a great dad, a great husband. We're got God's favor and God's command to go capture this whole land and take it and populate it, inhabit it, and multiply it. We've got all this from God. He's commanded us to do it. Well, let's go do it. Let's get it, okay? She's bold. She jumps off her donkey, says, Dad, I got the Negev. That's something, but there's a desert. Dad, I need some water. And he's eager to give it to her. He's happy to, all right? So think of it that way. Treat your children that way. Show them an example of living by faith, of living a bold life of faith, a generous life of faith. Look, if you think God is going to withhold stuff and you have to beg just for scraps, then what kind of person are you going to turn into? You're going to turn into a person who wants to withhold from others. If God is your father and you think God does not really want anything to do with you, and then you become a father, how are you going to treat your little ones? You're going to generally treat them the way you think God is, because fatherhood comes from God. Parenting comes from God, okay? And so your perspective of God is going to have the primary influence on how you parent somebody, your own kids. And they, in turn, are going to grow up thinking that of thinking what they think of you, they're going to think that of God. They're going to naturally put that on to him, whether they're right or wrong, whether you're doing it right or not. What you're modeling and what you're doing is modeling God to your children, because they are supposed to honor you in the Lord, and they're commanded to. And so your job is to be in the Lord, and your job is to be Christ-like as a father or mother. Okay, and this is just a small little example of that. But I want to raise up courageous, bold, confident children who grow up into courageous, bold, confident adults. I want them to marry well. I want them to not just marry the nearest person who looks at them and has a pretty smile or struts around acting like he's somebody. I want them to marry well. I want them to have high standards. So if I want that, then I'm going to have to live by high standards and have to model high standards for them. I'm going to have to teach them things. Teach them things with words and teach them things by example. You got to do it all. You don't just live by example. You also... teaching and raising and disciplining involves words. You're going to have to speak. You're going to have to communicate. You're going to have to model it, live it, communicate it, teach it, repeat it 100 different ways. You're going to have to practice it, do it all. and I fully believe that if you are living by faith and doing this the right way, it's going to rub off and your kids are going to pick it up. And when they're adults and they're starting to make adult decisions, you want them to make the bold decisions, right? You don't want to live in cowardice. You don't want to live in fear. You don't want to live in hedging all your bets. That's not the way to do it. Not if God is God. All right. God can speak and the universe pops into existence. All right. He doesn't, he's not going to withhold things. He's not going to be like, oh, I don't know. You know, he's God. Be careful what you wish for there. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Yeah. I don't have enough for everybody. Like, that is not God. That's not how God operates. He can come back from the dead. Like, look, guys, if you know who God is, and you know who he is because you read your Bible and you're informed as who he is, then there's no room for these meek, mild, silly prayers of for small things. Pray for the big thing. Okay? Pray for it all. All right? And teach your kids to do the same. We need bold prayers right now. When things are going bad, for some reason there's a temptation to like huddle up and hunker down and try to hold on for dear life. When things are going bad, guys, that's when you hit the gas pedal. That's when you need to trust the Lord more. That's when you need to pray for greater courage. You don't need any courage to hunker down and hide. And you're not going to accomplish anything worth accomplishing if you do that. And if Axa gets married and says, my dad's a real fighter. He's kind of scary. He worked hard for it. I don't want to bug him. And she compromises before she even goes to him. Look, she knows her dad loves her. She knows her dad is a man of faith, a man of God. She knows who her dad is. And she knows I can go to this guy and he's going to give it. And so she does. All right. So treat your kids right. Treat them like God treats you. He sent his son for you. All right. God bless you. We'll go more into this in chapter 15. The rest of the chapter is a list of cities and locations. We're going to do that tomorrow, and then we're going to keep going into the filling out Joshua. All right, talk to you later. Bye.